You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 11. We have been in a study of the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is given by the last living apostle around 95 approximately AD. And in the process, he's looking back, and his assignment is to bring to the forefront from Genesis, all the Old Testament, all history, all New Testament history, everything up to that point, God has communicated clearly, carefully, all the way down the corridor of time. He has communicated who He is, why we're created, why we're here, and where we're headed. In the process of that, John is going to point out who He is in particular. God, not what He does so much, it's who He is. Do you know who God is? Do you know Him? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Gospel of John is about knowing God. And all 21 chapters have to do with pointing out who He is. So that the word believe is used 99 times in the Gospel of John. And you need, what's the whole point? You need to believe who He is. You need to be comfortable with who He is. You need to be very confident because of who He is. You need to be very competent because of who He is. Now, having said that, here we are looking again, picking up where we were in the Gospel of John. He's crossing the Jordan River from the other side, the eastern bank, over to Bethany because of the death of Lazarus, and Martha and Mary have summoned him. Now, as he's crossed over, and remember he waited purposely, he waited till Lazarus would be surely dead. He waited 2 more days, remember, before going. He wanted to make sure as he set up the wonderful circumstances so that everyone, including, as you know, chapter 11, picking up, if I can, in verse 6. Verse 4, excuse me. 11:4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of the Son of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So he waited. He waited 2 more days in order that the disciples, as they enter the situation, as they cross the Jordan, they're going to find Lazarus has already died, already been buried. They're going over there, and they're going, as it were, late. They're going late. They didn't go immediately. They waited, and God had it planned that he would surely not be alive when he came. And thus, so having Lazarus having died, and in the process of that, verse 15 of chapter 11, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not N-O-T there, to the intent, to the purpose, that you may," what? What was the whole ball game about? It was about believing. "Nevertheless, let us go unto him." So they're going to go, and everything has been set up in God's wonderful providence, management, to bring about the most wonderful effect, the most wonderful exercise. So here in verse 16, "Then said Thomas," which is called Didymus, which means twin, "unto his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him." So Thomas, remember the Lord said, "Let us go unto him," verse 15, the end. Thomas turns to the 11 and says, let us go. He's the leader, and he says, let us go. Now, what is the thinking? We're going to go, and remember, they didn't want him to go across the Jordan because they were waiting to kill him. He's only within 6 months or less before his crucifixion. So it's the next thing to happen in the corridor of time here. So they didn't want him to cross over because they would kill him. And now he's going over, and Thomas is going to go. Lazarus, Thomas said, let us go, the end of verse 16, and we're going to die with him. In other words, here we are, we've given 3.5 years, 3 1/3 years of our lives to him. He's the right one. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God. And he's going to go over a cross and die. We couldn't have been with a better person. We couldn't have had a more wonderful experience in these 3 years plus than to be with this man. So therefore, the Jewish people, they aren't ready. They aren't interested in where the Lord would, who the Lord was and what he would do for them. They weren't interested. All they were going to do what they're going to do. So here's Thomas is going to hang in there, and the disciples are going to hang in there, and they're going to go across the Jordan, knowing full well that they'll probably die maybe with him, and that all of the things that they looked for and hoped for in the wonderful ministry and testimony of our Lord to the people of Israel would never happen. It would be all over. And all the wonderful future disappears. But boy, at least we were with the right person. And now here's our world in dire straits, to say the least. Think of the people in different countries, including our own. And here we are looking and watching. It, we hold, as we shared the other day, we hold these truths, second paragraph, declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that we are created by God, the wonderful Creator, and that we hold these truths in order that we may be able to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It was all about that, but that is almost totally out the window, it seems. Wow. And the world conditions are in horrible state in all kinds of ways for all kinds of reasons. Russia, communism, Islam, etc., etc., etc. Wow. So God, here we are. We're doing the right thing, looking to you. Of all the things on planet Earth that we ought to be doing, we're doing them. And it may not come out, but hey, at least we were going in the right direction. Now that's Thomas, and that's his window of view is right ahead of him. He can see no further. He understands no more. Now hang on to that. Now, in the light of that, our Lord, remember, our Lord, what did you say? Our Lord, you prepared them. In over, if you would, Matthew chapter 60, the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 16. Now, remember, our Lord had prepared them specifically and carefully. So, when we read in the light of the context, chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show to whom? To his disciples, how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. He told them what would happen. He told them that. Not only did they have that in front of them, but they didn't understand it. They couldn't come to grips with it. Now, and while you're here in chapter 16, What did Peter say by God's grace about who he was? The end of verse 13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The end of verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you disciples say? Now they didn't know what to say, but God helped them, helped Peter. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You would have never been able to say that if my Father didn't make it very simple and clear for you. Now, and that's so they said it. Who he is? The Son of God? Do you understand it? No, we don't. We can't put it together. We don't put it together. Over to the Gospel of John and chapter 6. The Gospel of John and chapter 6. And in verse, if I can, later as they're going down the corridor of time, chapter 6, may I go directly to verse 67. In the light of all he was doing, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered in him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So you're very confident of who I am, but you don't know who I am. You know me, but you don't. Think of how many people you think you know, but you really don't. You really don't. Wow. Now, so God, you're going to do what? Well, in John chapter 11, over if you would, remember all the different signs and miracles that John shows to show, and use it to show who he is. Now again, he's going to show why John 3:16 is true. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now you're going to show, why is that true? Well, John says, and John's the penman writing, he's the hand for God to write, as it were. And he's going to say, listen, let me point out to you another wonderful truth that will help you understand. You don't understand. You say you understand, but you don't understand. And now he said it over and over. But now he's going to, let me do it again for you. And God had made a special occasion at the death of Lazarus to make sure they were not there. Now, in the process, John chapter 11, verse 20. Remember, the people are all seeking to do the normal comforting, and we shared that together, John 11 and 19, etc. They're all trying to be the normal comforters, encouragers, etc., supporting. Now, verse 20, our Lord is on the way, crossed the Jordan, and going to Bethany, up on the hill, up in the where the Garden of Gethsemane is up there. And they're going up, and the Lord Jesus is headed to the town. And one of the people, of course, the word spread very swiftly that the Lord and the apostles, disciples are coming. And Martha and Mary had asked him 4 days earlier to come. But now he's coming. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. So Mary and Martha are sitting in the house. All the mourners are there in and around and about with them, mourning. And in the process, the word comes, Martha is the head of the house. Mary is the premier. She's the one that's over. Martha is the administrator of the house. Here's the house, and Martha does the cooking, Martha does the appointments, Martha does the business. And the lady person comes and whispers in Martha's ear that he's coming. And Martha hops out of her seat. And Jesus, and why did she do so? She heard Jesus was coming, present tense. He's on his way. He's on his way. And so she hurried to receive him, knowing it was too late. Chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? And in the process of that, verse 39, just ahead of that, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. So here he is. They're coming, and he's already been in the grave 4 days. He's already deteriorating in the heat, the dryness, and all that. And in the process of that, here they are, and Martha and Mary is going to sit. Mary's sitting still. She's sitting still. Martha didn't say a thing to Mary. Jesus is coming. She just hopped out of her seat, wherever she was, and went out the door and down the road to meet him. That's what she did. Mary's still sitting there. Now, in the light of that, verse 21. Then said Martha unto him, Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And she said unto Jesus, if you had been here, you weren't here. Now the little word if is in the second class condition in the Greek, which means, and it is not true. It is not true. It's contrary to reality. To say it differently, you were not here. He died 4 days ago, and you were not here. You weren't here. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto him, Jesus, if thou hadst been here, but you weren't here, my brother had not died. I know that if you were here, and he was very sick, and if you had come right off, he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have died. But he did die. He did die. That's what happened. Wow. And a little later, Mary's going to come. Chapter 11, verse 32. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So both of them, if you had been, they knew that if he was there, he would have never died. God would have taken care of the whole problem. But he wasn't there. Now, verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now I know something. I am knowing it with the result. I am still knowing it. I have the knowledge. I have the knowledge that I know, even now, without any question, that if you were here, whatever you ask of God, he'd do it. I know that God will do it. The God will give it to thee. You have such a remarkable, flawless relationship with God that in all of our acquaintance with thee, in everyone else's with thee, whenever you ask God anything, he does it. He wonderfully works out and happens. So he had the wonderful, she knows personally, she is knowing, but she is not knowing. She is not knowing. She has a wonderful, healthy concern. If he was here, too late, it's too late, it's already over, all done, there's nothing to do now anymore. But I know that if you were here, and my concern is, I'm looking at Lazarus, that my brother is in the grave, we're here mourning and finishing it off, and in the process, it's very personal, very local. Do you have any picture of a big picture? Do you have a picture of this whole thing? No, we don't have that. All we have is the funeral parlor, the gravesite, and here we are. A little world, a little house, everything. That's our world. And that's where she was. But she knew if he was here that it wouldn't have happened, but she didn't know. She didn't know. They knew. They knew that Jesus had a most special, awesome relationship to God. And they knew, but they didn't know who he was, who he is. They just didn't know it. So therefore, there was no miracle expected. Oh, he's healed other people. Do you remember about others? No, we don't. We don't remember. So do you know, your problem is you don't know who he is. So now, chapter 11 and in verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Jesus said to her, your brother is going to rise again. And verse 24, Martha saith unto him, well, I know, I'm a knower, I know these things. Think of all the little things you and I know. Little things. I know this, I know that. And then think of all the things we don't know that makes what we think we know come together. And it doesn't come together because we got a little piece of something you know, you feel, you think, but you can't put the pieces together to make it come out. So therefore you're missing. So here we are, here's Martha, and Martha said, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know that he'll do that. I know that. Now, what would the people know in the day of our Lord Jesus, Martha, Mary, the rabbi, the priest, what would they know? What could they know? Now, let's just take a quick glimpse. Go back with me, please, over to Job. Job chapter 19, I think. Job chapter 19. Now listen to Job. Job's a contemporary with Abraham. Job 19, picking up if I can, in verse 25. For I know, said Job, that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Now, Job, you mean once you die, you're going to stand again in a body and see him? I believe that. That's Job. Job was right there. No question. So Job had no problem. Job knew that. Now, any of you people, Job, any Jew that would read, and read the Bible, read Job, is going to know that that's an understanding. Who had that understanding? Job did. Job isn't a fly-by-night. Job is the top, one of the top on the pile. Now, so over, if you would, please, to Daniel. Quickly, just putting it a little bit together. So what would you know if you were a Jew and you had, like we're seeking to understand God's word, and so did they. And they had the Old Testament, and they had those wonderful truths. Now, here in Daniel chapter 12, I said 2, didn't I? Did I say 2? I did? No. 12. Daniel chapter 12, and going, if I can, well, you read verse 1. 12:1, Daniel. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, great tribulation actually, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. At that time thy people shall be delivered, every one of them shall be found written, that every one that is found written in the book. And many of them, that's verse 2, that sleep, that means they died, in the dust of the earth, that's where they're buried, in the ground, shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So people are going to arise for the good and for the not so good. So they're going to have it. So you know that? Yeah, there's the future. There's an awesome future lying ahead. Wow. Over, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 23. The rabbi, what did they think? As you know, in Acts chapter 23, picking up, if I can, in thought, Paul's testimony. He's a Pharisee, remember, was 23 and in verse 6. And when his testimony, and when Paul perceived that one part were, this is before the group sent, the leadership, sent Sadducees, and the other were Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee of the hope of the resurrection, of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question," remember, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection. Verse 7, "And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the multitude was divided." Resurrection, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. That's the testimony of all the believers after the resurrection. Well, here's the Sadducees and Pharisees, and they don't believe. And Paul brought up the subject of his resurrection. Verse 8, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisee confessed both." So the Pharisees believed in resurrection and angels, but the Sadducees did not. Remember, the Sanhedrin was made up of the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. All the priests in the Sanhedrin are Sadducees. All the priests in the Sanhedrin, the high court of Israel, are Sadducees. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in angels. They don't believe in it. Now, hang on to that. Now, in the light of that, back over to Acts chapter 11. Now, in the light, and may I remind you, if I can, give you a reminder, if you understood, and we understood a little bit about the Jewish background today. Now, remember, Jews did not believe in reincarnation. They don't believe that. Maybe some, but it's against the system. They don't believe in reincarnation. Now, so, and that, and what one thinks, what you think needs to match reality. Hang on to that. You may have all kinds of things you think you know. Does it lock on, match up with the truth? Is it real? Is what you believe real? It has to be real. Belief doesn't make anything true. Belief doesn't make anything real. It either is real and true or it isn't. Whatever you feel, it's either true or it isn't. Wow. So now, keep that in mind. And so here, think of if you were a Jew today, perhaps, and here's the Talmud. Here's the books, Gemara and all this stuff. And now remember, the Jews are busy, like most many, with works. What have I done the right thing? Do I do the right thing? It's all works. We're earning our credentials to merit, to be rewarded, to be come out all right. But what we do. So now here's the Talmud. And remember, the whole thing is works, good works, not creeds, but deeds. It isn't what you think, it's what you do. It's what you do that counts. So now, here we got what we do. Now, in the process of that, in the Talmud, which I'm not sure how many ever get to that, I'm going to read you a little quote from it. Where the righteous sit, the righteous. Tables and candlesticks, thrones and crowns were there to be seen. They were there for the souls that were pure and clean. So, that's all about, in the Talmud, the Garden of Eden. Not in Genesis, not that garden, the heavenly garden, someplace in the wonderful yesterday and tomorrow, where the Garden of Eden is. Not that, that's the garden. And if you're clean and pure, you may get there. And to sit at a table in the presence of all of that wonderment. Now that's some. Some think that way. And in the light of the Talmud. Also, there is the Sheol, which means the grave. And where the dead go to where? Sheol. They go to the grave. That's where they go. They go to the grave. And in the process of going to the grave, they go either to everlasting life or everlasting contempt in the light of Daniel. And so either somehow, somewhere, sometime, something will happen, and they, if they're right, pure and clean, if they're right, if they're whatever, the works were good enough, they'll end up okay. But if their works aren't good enough, they aren't going to end up okay. And then thirdly, and probably mostly, when you're dead, quote, you are dead, unquote. That's the thinking. When you're dead, unquote. That's the thinking of most. That's the thinking of most people, isn't it? If we're evolutionists, if we do all the stuff, secular materialism, what are you? You're no more than a physical piece of wood, a butterfly that's crushed. You're dead. It's all over. This is it. That's right. And thus, you're dead, and we do our works. We do our works. Why are we doing our works? That our children may have something to continue our name, can continue our memory, our memories. A street is named after me. Something else and something else. We want to be remembered. We're all gone. We're dead. It's all over. Now that's the thinking. Now you need that because the Lord has to help. See? Because that's our world, and really, and even our world, even to today. So verse 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know. Now, having said that, I know something again. I am knowing it, perfect. I know these things. I know them. I do. He'll rise again at the last day. I know that. Wow. Now, is there a lot of comfort in that? Here's Lazarus is gone, your brother, and in the process, someday, by and by, maybe, someday, is there much comfort in that? What comfort there is in that? Not much. You can say, well, someday, last day, the end, it'll come out maybe, come out. So there's no comfort. It's a future event. It isn't even in our framework. It isn't there. We can't see it. You know, using it in a silly illustration, maybe. Think of our founding fathers in 1776, etc. The Declaration. Signing of the Declaration. Now, they signed it with great commitment and cost their lives if they understood all that. Wow. And the nation came together within reason to be one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Wow. And they came there now with that one nation. Now, I'm going to move them up. I'm going to have them all sit in the back row. Ready? Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, they're all lined up in the back row. And I brought them back. And I want you to tell them about our country now. Would they believe that this is their country that they signed that declaration for? It was so future. And they knew. They even knew. Washington, Jefferson, they all knew. They all knew that what they had written required a people that wanted to understand life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, hold these truths. But they didn't hold these truths. We don't even have these truths. Wow. So here's Martha. There's no comfort. Did Jesus fail? No, he didn't fail at all. Not at all. Over, please, while you're not far away, to John chapter 5. Now, he told them all kinds of things, but they just didn't understand them, mostly. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, 5 and 24, hath everlasting life, and shall not, N-O-T, come into condemnation, judgment, but on the contrary, is past the heavens and earth pass away, is pass from death unto life. Well, the minute you believe, you're going to pass from death unto life. That's right. That's right. And he said it over and over and over again. And while you're here, John chapter 5, and in verse 21, as the Father, 5 and 21, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, makes them alive, even so the Son quickeneth and makes alive whom he will. So, boy, the Lord said all kinds of things that clued them in. If I told you to believe in me, and I told you that I may have the power, the right, the authority to make it happen. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him the authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. So God, you kept telling them that if they believed, that they would have life, pass from death unto life, no condemnation, it would be all fixed. Thus in the process, in the last day. Now, then the last day, it's used all over the place, but just as a little. Now, so what we're going to say, I'm going to make believe on Martha here. Well, what about now? The last day, I know in the last day, thus and thus may happen. But what about now? What about now? What about where is my brother now? By the way, what is the resurrection? I said I believe in the resurrection at the last day. But why? What on earth is the resurrection actually anyway? What does that mean? What does that mean? The Lord is way ahead of her. Over if you would please. Oh, while you're here, turn chapter 6. Don't turn to chapter 6, no time. Forget that. Chapter 11. Chapter 11. Now, Lord, are you going to answer? I am. Jesus, remember now, Jesus, verse 25. Remember, she just said, I know the last day. I know that, but what about now? And what about my brother? And, well, the Lord Jesus is going to help her. We need help. Verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am. Do you know how many times I've said that in the Gospel of John? You picked it out, John, didn't you? Every time the Lord, you said it, I am. It is I. I introduce myself. It is I. I am. Hold your finger here a minute. Over to John chapter 5 again. And what is he saying when he said, I am? He says, I am. Remember Exodus 3:14? I am that I am. That's who you're going to tell Israel, Moses. I am that I am. Wow. Now, John chapter 5 and verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. Did you Jews understand that? No problem. Making himself equal with God. You knew exactly what he said. I am God.
And they got after him for that, trying to stone him.
Now, over to chapter 10 on your way back. John chapter 10. All kinds of places, but here's a couple. John chapter 10, picking up if I can, in verse 33. 10 and 33. The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy." What's that? "Because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." I'm God. And you're making yourself... Did you guys all understand that? You bet we did. But we knew what? God can never be a man. He's the creator. He created us. And that's why the Jews had a problem receiving Christ the Messiah. Because he's God. And they were looking, and Messiah can be no more than a man. He can't be God. God alone is God. Like Allah would say, Muhammad. Wow. So now... So God, back over to chapter 11. I am, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful words of truth. I am the resurrection. They're great words. I'm going to give you great assurance. Let me help you. I'm going to make it clear, simple. A simple, clear, direct statement. I am the, T-H-E, resurrection. What is the resurrection? I am the resurrection. I am. You're trying to find it. It's standing in front of you. I, the person. Do you understand? I, being God, it's mine. I am the resurrection. I am it. Wow. Did you get it? No, not yet. Did you get it? No, no. Hold your finger here a moment. Over to Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1. Our time is going to go, but I hope you get a little. Gotta help them. Revelation 1, and going directly, if I can, the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected Christ, dealing with the heart of John the Apostle, giving him, as it were, the book of Revelation. And thus we slide down to verse 16, and he said, "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth as in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. And by the way, I have the keys, the authority. I have the ownership of hell, Hades, Sheol, and of death itself. I own the whole thing. I own the whole ball of wax. It's all mine. All mine. Do you know? You should have a wonderful, wonderful... It's all centered in who I am. It's all centered in me. It's not. Remember now. I'm not identifying, Jesus did not identify himself with the event. He did not identify himself with the act of resurrection. He didn't say, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to be. He didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. If she could have followed that, maybe. He didn't say that. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the source of that event. I am the power for that event. That event is only going to be because I am. I am who I am. And that's why anything is. Do you understand? So when you believe in me like Lazarus, did Lazarus understand all this? No. But Lazarus did what? He believed on the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. And that made the difference. Because God understands the rest of it. If I were to go up and down just of us little people and base your salvation, if you're saved, God help you, and I was to base it on your understanding of all these things, how many of you would pass the test? How many would pass the test? No. What makes Lazarus saved? He believes. He believes in the right person and for the right reasons in the right way, and that makes all the difference in the world. God in Christ, the Word become flesh. God, you, the fruit, the Spirit, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, etc. God, you are the resurrection. That's right. When Lazarus believed in me, he received the wonderful benefits of who I am. And he received the resurrection and the life. It's a future event in the physical end of it, but it's a personal, immediate now. You are the resurrection. Where is my resurrection? What are we doing as believers? What is the purpose of the local church? Acts chapter 2, etc. They were to go and preach. They were witnesses of what? Of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To believe, Romans 10, believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. You're talking about a wonderful relationship that is. Not something that will be. It is, right now. Martha, do you get it? I'm going to help you some more, he said. I have to help you some more. Wow. Now, And in the light of that, over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Let me do it a little different way. You know John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe in my name. So when do you become a child of God? The minute you believe. What did you do? Nothing. You just believed. Actually, when you entered planet Earth, all you did is come out of your mother's body, didn't you? What else did you do? And then took a breath, so that you became alive. You took a breath, all your own. That's what you did. Didn't do anything else. But boy, it didn't take very long that you knew you were alive in some form. Now, it's true psychologically, you weren't awake. You're just physically alive. Psychologically, it hasn't clicked yet. But anyway, in the process, you know, you cry, you have your diapers changed, you're hungry. Wow! Because you're alive. God, when you receive the Lord Jesus, when a person receives the Lord as their Savior, they have life. They're a child of God. Now you've got to go and discover it. Wow. Galatians, the Apostle Paul giving his testimony. May I notice, please, in verse 15, 1 and 15. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and God called me by his grace. Who did the separation? Who did the giving of life? God did. To what was his purpose? Verse 16, to reveal his Son in me. Now, what does it mean to say, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life? What are you trying to tell Mary? What are you trying to tell Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. I am God. And everything that anything and everything is centered in who I am. So when I am involved, everything is involved. All of creation is involved. You say, wow, you'll pick it up tonight. Wonderful. Wow. Now, so please, verse 24, chapter 1, Galatians. And the people looking at the Apostle Paul, And they glorified God, Wea, in him. Verse 16, to reveal his son in me. And what translate that? It means I receive God as my Savior. The Lord Jesus, Lazarus, what did you do? Lazarus believed. He believed me, who I am. And thus he has all the benefits. He doesn't understand. He couldn't have understood it all. He didn't need to. Neither did John the Baptist. They didn't need to. They believed in the right person for the right reasons in the right way. It has to come out. See? Wow. Wow. Now, so I trust. If you believe, you don't have to turn there, John 11:25. If you believe, you'll never die. We have to do that next time. Our time's gone. And like it was said in Sunday school, I thought it was pretty good. George, where are you? You're all released. Anyway, we'll have a word of prayer. I hope you got a little bit. We didn't get very far. But you have to understand the magnificence of what he's trying to do. And most people do not make the connection. And therefore they miss out on all the benefits. Because they're trying to have something apart from his wonderful person. And when you have his person, you've got the whole ball of wax. Do you understand? When? Now! They wake you up. Now. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our country, our God, Israel, the nations of the world, all ISIS and all the terrible difficulties and troubles that many people face and will face. So God, we're looking to you for the wonderful. You are our future. You are the end. And we have you at the beginning, and having you, we have the end already. God, thank you very, very much for loving us, caring, God, as you seek to patiently help even Martha and Mary and us. God, thank you very much. We just miss out because we think we know, but then we need to know. And without knowing what we need to know, what we know is not any good for us. So God, thank you very, very much. Thank you so much. And if anyone knows thee not as their Lord and Savior, God, convince them that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as their Savior. In Christ's wonderful name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, 268. 268.